The largest container ship ever to call on a U.S. port arrived in Seattle today, the Benjamin Franklin. And how big is big? Well, I talked to Scott Merritt, who runs Harbor Services and Regional Towing at Foss Maritime here in Seattle, and he described the scene on the water early this morning.
After the storm yesterday, there was quite a calm on the water as the four tugboats sat out there in Elliott Bay waiting for the ship to come around the corner. And, you know, the first thing we saw just as dawn was breaking, we saw the masthead light of the ship turn the corner and come around towards Elliott Bay, and it was really kind of an awe-inspiring sight. From a distance, it looked like a normal container ship, but as it came closer to the tugs, you realized just the massive size of this vessel and the amount of cargo and containers it can carry.
How many elephants could fit on the Benjamin Franklin?
You know, not being a zoologist, but if I remember about how big an elephant is, it seems like you could fit one elephant in a 20-foot container. You might need a little higher container, so you could probably fit 18,000 very small elephants on the Benjamin Franklin, certainly carrying a significant amount of them.
Well, how big does it compare to your typical docking ship?
It was probably a good 400 feet longer and 50 feet wider than the typical container ship that calls the Port of Seattle, and we have some significant size ships that call here. It was just that much bigger. Generally, we'd use two tugs on a ship assist. Today, this morning, we used four tugs. It was definitely a step above what we're used to.
And how did it go this morning, pushing and pulling that thing around?
It really went flawless. I'd almost say that, you know, between all the different stakeholders that participated in the planning and the operation this morning, it really almost made it a boring event because it just went off without a hitch. It just came in safely. The pilot brought it alongside the dock. The tugs performed their jobs. The longshore and line handlers on the dock were able to capture the lines from the ship and just really came off without a hitch.
We like boring when a boat's that big.
You know, we really do.
You mentioned you used your four biggest tugs. What did you have to do differently to make sure that the huge Benjamin Franklin got around safely?
So we're really part of a much bigger system, and the planning for bringing this ship in has been going on for over 4 months, and it involves the customer and the customer's agent, the Port of Seattle and the Northwest Seaport Alliance, which is both the Port of Seattle and the Port of Tacoma. It involved the stevedores, the Puget Sound pilots, the United States Coast Guard. It really involved this whole system, and Foss Maritime is part of that system. And so, you know, once the pilots, identified the size of the ship and where it'd be going, they went into the simulator and actually practiced docking the ship in simulation so they could determine which tugs and how many they needed and how they'd be employed, and working with our operations personnel, kind of figured out which tugs we'd have to make sure were committed this morning, you know, to give the pilot the tools he needed to dock this ship safely.
And dock safely it did. That was Scott Merritt, a senior vice president with Foss Maritime here in Seattle. And once again, earlier today, the Benjamin Franklin, largest container ship ever to call on an American port, arrived in Seattle. Let's keep talking big boats here with the Seattle Times economics columnist, John Talton, joining us live. Hi, John.
Ahoy, Bill.
Ahoy. Why does it matter? Why does the size of the ship matter?
Well, this is the future of containerized shipping. So this handles about 18,000 containers measured in 20-foot equivalents, or TEUs, as the industry calls them. And the average ship is 4 to 6,000. But they're getting bigger so that you can have more tonnage with fewer ships, fewer people. And we will probably see even larger ships than this.
Yeah, I thought American ports were getting nervous about not being able to handle the larger ships that are coming.
It is an issue. The only terminal that we have that is ready for this ship right now is Terminal 18. They're working on Terminal 5 to make it happen. They're also working on a terminal down in Tacoma, and it's why we have to keep investing in this kind of infrastructure. L.A. Long Beach has it, but not every port does, and Prince Rupert will have it up in Canada.
So what's your prediction for Port of Seattle and Tacoma?
Well, this is the great unknown, because the problem with these bigger ships is that the companies might choose to call at fewer ports along the West Coast. Now, we've been losing market share relative to other ports on the West Coast. This was one of the things that caused Seattle and Tacoma to bind together in the Northwest Seaport Alliance. So we've got to make sure that we're one of the ports that they do call at and not lose out.
And just briefly, why would these bigger ships be calling on fewer ports?
Well, because they can hit fewer stops with a lot of containers and hit the rail lines there instead of bouncing down from Prince Rupert to Vancouver to us to Tacoma or to Oakland and L.A. Long Beach.
Okay, now this is what we've been talking about, this giant ship, Benjamin Franklin, that you can see in the Elliott Bay. There is another way that the Port of Seattle is scaling up, which is at a little thing that the port operates called SeaTac Airport. Fastest growing major airport in America?
It is, and it is going to increase significantly if the growth rate continues. And so there's going to have to be a lot of rebuilding done, both in terms of terminals and the land access, and it'll have to be done within a relatively small footprint.
And what's working against a rebuilding or an expansion?
Well, it has to be done very carefully because you'll have noise complaints from surrounding communities. You'll have a lot of different stakeholders involved. There's a good money stream because this comes out of the ticket holders and the airlines and things like that, so it can be done. Then you have the tension between Delta and Alaska Airlines so that you have to be fair to both. If we can create a major international gateway here, then it's a huge plus for the city.
How crowded is SeaTac these days for a flyer?
It's pretty crowded the last time I went there. And it also needs a lot of work on amenities and things like that. I mean, you won't find among the top 25 airports rated on their quality any American airport. SeaTac came in about 54, I think.
Why is that?
Well, Americans have not been investing in infrastructure for decades.
So who pays for a SeaTac expansion? You mentioned some ticket charges and airlines get charged.
Well, generally this comes out of fees that are attached to tickets and to the airlines, and then there's borrowing authority that's backed by the federal government. So this is different than, say, building light rail or building freeways or something like that. It is fairly easily funded for American airports. The question is going through all the different options for how you expand the airport, then winnowing out the right ones, and then going through the environmental reviews and other reviews, going out to the community and selling it.
But isn't there a fight over who pays? We got Alaska wanting to expand, Delta wanting to expand.
Well, there is a tension there because Alaska does not want to pay for Delta to drive it into the ground.
Right.
And so there has to be some fair way to allocate that.
Okay, so finally, why does a SeaTac airport expansion and upgrade, why does it matter to the average person who's not a super frequent business flyer?
Well, it's essential to the regional economy because you need to have companies with their headquarters here that have access to airline travel all over the country and all over the world. And if we're going to really be a player in the Pacific Rim in the Asian century, then we need to have a major international gateway here. And then finally, as a hub for Alaska, we're one of the very, very few blessed communities to have a local airline based here that flies all over the country.
Right. There are so few anymore.
Right. It's what's left is kind of a five-airline cartel.
Right. We've been talking with the economics columnist at Seattle Times about scaling up for the Port of Seattle, both the in ships, and we've got the Benjamin Franklin hugely out there in Elliott Bay, and we've got SeaTac Airport needing to grow as well. Good to talk with you, John. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
KUOW's The Record.